Bible. So that's, I mean, it's important, but it's not just there, it's right now. Jesus is working and at work right now. And I hope you saw as we read through John how frequently Jesus refers to, I do only what I see my Father do. And it was a very present tense thing. My son is doing all the English tenses now, you know, and every now and again, Ina and I are like, what present perfect? You have to get all the tenses right. But this present tense Jesus, it's not a past thing. It's not one day he's coming back. He's right now. And so we want to be attentive. We want to be on the lookout. I hope you saw what God is busy doing in Mornay, you know, as he's trying to share. You see God is opening up this picture of himself that was, is, and will be. It's way bigger than what he in some way anticipated. And words is just not enough to explain completely what he's experiencing now. Jock, it's right now. I think I've got it all sorted, but yeah, God opens up something and it's right now. And that's what fasting and prayer oftentimes does. It slows us down to catch up with God. It slows us down. We stop, we wait, we stop eating so that we can be attentive to what God is busy doing. And he is, in some ways, feels very very slow at work, but he's definite at work. In these last 2 weeks, I've been thinking of this whole seed concept the whole time. And when you put a seed in the ground and what's the English word again? Germinate. Nee. When that seed germinates, speaks of it, the seed dies to itself, and then the little stomachy starts coming up. And but it is so silent when that, no, none of us see that. It's there on its own in silence, and but it's definite. And I feel the Lord has done some of those things in individually and in the congregation together through this fast and prayer time. That there were some times that God just, we don't even know. You were either busy sleeping or just in your quiet time. Nobody is there, but God is there. And something that starts, a process or something that's revealed. And it's not out there, but it's definite. It's definite it happened. Almost like Jesus' birth. The whole world didn't know about Jesus' birth. I mean, the Savior of the world is born. It's in a manger. I mean, there were some angels, but it's a few shepherds, a few wise men that traveled very far, and it's inconspicuous. But it happened. You can't stop it. It's like those dominoes just start falling. And this one is still standing, but it started, and the wave is building and building and building. And that's really what I'm trusting for. Even in that. So where's Henny? Is Henny here? Henny, don't you want to just share what you had on your heart? So I'm drawing on a few people, just what the Lord showed. It's one of the things, it's not everything that the Lord gave them, but what you need to be in your heart now is attentive. Jesus, what are you doing in that person's life? And what are you showing through his or her life? What they're sharing or what God is just showing you. And that's the message this morning.
Morning, guys. Normally, fasting is a heavy on me. Seriously heavy. So I do not look forward to it. So, but this time it was a little bit different. I looked forward to it. Thank you, Nelika. I definitely looked forward to it. I was excited about the fast and everything, but it was a different kind of fast. Normally, it's from my first fast was I had to fast a day from the one night till I think 8 o'clock till the next day, 24 hours till the next 8 o'clock. So, and I couldn't wait for the time to pass so that I could just 1 minute pass. I ordered the pizza and everything was there. So I made it. I made it the 24 hours in principle, but I didn't make it. When the clock struck 8 o'clock, I had that pizza. So, yeah, Uriah is my witness. Bottom line is, so fasting for me was a heavy. It was seriously a, oh, it's difficult. This time it wasn't like that. I felt that the whole fasting thing God broke open in me. And I didn't fast the whole time. It was a strange fast for me. Some days I would say, listen, I'm going to do this, and the next day I would do that, and one day I would eat, and the next day it would be a complete fast or whatever. Bottom line is, I had it planned out. In my mind, I needed to fast for myself so that I would be right with God. Then I would fast for my marriage, and then I would fast for my family and my job and the community and church and everything. So and that was the process that in my mind I had to follow. But one Sunday morning, I went and walked with the dogs at school, and when I came back, I realized my fasting is all wrong. I wanted to fix any, then fix other things, and then get to community, and then to church. And I realized I'm never going to fix any. I'm never going to get past that. And that is sort of something that, yeah. Bottom line is, God said it's supposed to be other way around. Fast for church, community, church life. Give yourself there. And as you give yourself there, out of that, the things will be born that needs to be born. Out of my giving myself into church and everything that entails, if I like it or not, I'm sitting at the back. bottom line is, give yourself to that, and as I get that, all these other things will be added to me. So yeah, that is just basically. Thank you. The truth shall set you free.
Beautiful, Annie. Beautiful. Lisa, where's Lisa? You want to come say what you had?
I'm going to try not to cry, because it was, in this time, there was something that I think I'm like, when I can't explain. When Jesus prayed, I think it was chapter 17 or 18, I'm not sure about the chapter, he prayed and he asked the Father, he was trying to explain to the disciples how the unity was. And he tried to explain to them that he wants the same unity as he's got with the Father, as the Father is in him, or as he's in the Father, as they are in, he's in us. And I just realized that the only thing that Jesus really wanted to do is just to have that unity with us. It was as if he was an advocate or someone that stood there and said, listen, don't you understand? I just want this relationship. I just want this total unity. And I just saw something of his heart, something that he loved us so much. And he just wanted to say, listen, I want this relationship. I mean, even when Pilatus said, but he's not guilty. I can't see that he's guilty. And I still said, but no, we want him crucified. We want him crucified. How in the world? I mean, they were there. The people had him. The disciples had him with them. They knew who he was. And still it happened. Still. I mean, Pilate said he's not guilty, and still the people went and they crucified him. And all he wanted to do is just to have this special bond, this special thing that he's got with the Father. So in this time, I just realized, I just saw that extra special thing about him. I saw the person living. I saw his heart. I saw how he loves us so much and what he wants for us.
Amen. Vera, you want to come and see? And then Robert, can you say something now? Robert?
First and foremost, I want to say thank you for this wonderful congregation. While me and Robert were studying through the scriptures, we just had this wonderful experience that there's a real unity in this Joshua generation. We came into this community, and the people around us were just ministering to us and serving us through their prayer and through their ministry. So I just want to thank you all that you were faithful and that you were obedient. And I can honestly say through this fasting and through this prayer, there was such an awareness of the unity in prayer amongst the communities, the prayer and the unity that there was amongst the worshippers. This time of fasting and prayer, I really experienced that God was intervening on behalf of this congregation and this community. For all of you, I just sense that there was such a spirit of unity amongst everyone, amongst the prayers, amongst the saints, amongst the worshippers, amongst the kids. It was just tremendous to experience how God was intervening amongst everyone. There was such a unity and such a ministry of faithful believers coming together that stood together, even in times of tribulation and even in times of darkness. And God was intervening. I want to say thank you for you all, that you stood with me and you stood with Robert, you stood with us, and that we can be accountable towards you and towards the leadership.
Morning, everyone. I just want to share, I felt I wanted to share last week, but now after what Fritz said this morning on tithing, about 16 years ago, I came from a Dutch Reformed upbringing, and I decided if ever I do something like a baptism or tithing, I would do it according to what the Bible said. So about 16 years ago, I started bringing my tithe to the storehouse. Well, these days, you EFT. But I've really seen through my life how it's not, as Fritz said, it's not a quick fix. It's not instantly you're going to have richness in your life and that. But I've just seen in my life that even if it's on number 99, God comes through. And the first time it actually happened was just after I started tithing, that at that stage I was overseas, I was working off a student loan, and my sister decided to get married, and I'm like, yo, I don't have this money at the moment. So at that stage, the exact amount that I was earning while I was being paid weekly was what I needed to buy a plane ticket. And then I got my weekly salary and it was doubled. And I went to the bank and I'm like, where does this money come from? I don't want to use it, and later on I've got to pay it back. And then they said, no, they don't know where it comes from, but you can actually use it. And I used that exact money to buy the plane ticket to come to South Africa. And then just through my life, I've seen so many times that at the right moment, even if it's number 99, God comes through. And so about 2 odd weeks ago, during this time of fasting, I booked plane tickets for the holiday. And then it said, yeah, no, okay, this is your booking confirmation. And then suddenly all these things came through that they said again, now there's something missing. And the next moment, now you got to pay more for this plane ticket. And something was fishy for me. And so I tried to get the bank to stop this money to go through. And they said, no, they can't do it over the phone, you got to send a mail. I'm like, oh, by that time, the money's going to be gone. And they said, no, yeah, no, it seems like something is fishy here. So the short and long, the money went through. And I'm like, God, now this money is gone. I mean, And but in the beginning of the year, normally I get myself a song, and that's the song for the year. And this song just really stirred in my heart. If you haven't heard it, it's from Phil Wickham, Battle Belongs. And yeah, I just said, God, this song says the battle belongs, and all we can do is we can just go on our knees, hands lifted high. And I just left it in God's hands. Well, I tried to do what I must do, and I mailed them. And the short and long is the money was paid back into my account. But I've now been, since coming to church, just telling God, I've tithed my whole life now since realizing what tithing is all about. But yeah, if you show me now that this is the congregation where I now have to fit in, then God, then it's, the next thing is to tithe again. And that amount that was paid back into my account is exactly the amount that I've got to tithe. So yeah, I just want to tell you, as Fred said, it's not a quick fix tithing, but it just, at the right time, even if it's number 99, God do come through for you.
Thanks, Robert. God is speaking to everyone where they are, hey? Anybody else want to maybe share some? JJ, come.
The Lord shared a lot of stuff with me, but something that was just amazing for me is in John 20. It just shows personalities. It was striking here where Mary got to the grave and she said, but Jesus is not there anymore. And then Peter and the other disciples started for a time. But what's amazing for me, I just see the personality, so can I just demonstrate it? Can you hold it? Here's the two disciples. Mary comes and tells them, okay, now, what's the guy's name? Petrus. Peter and John,
ready, steady,
go. Oh, it's amazing. The Lord always shows me pictures. Now, John, the favorite disciple, he's outrunning Peter completely. So Peter's, I don't know if he's older or you can just speak on that. But here is the grave. So the other guy comes in here first. But now he's first and Peter's coming. Now, as I said, I don't know. I just saw the picture. I don't know if he was crawling or maybe he was not fit. But the other guy was here at the grave first. And then he just put his head in like a cat. And then Peter came boldly, boom, in. And I just saw this picture. That is how God uses us all differently in his kingdom, your personality. So what I just saw and think about it is that you are unique. God will use you in your uniqueness. Thank you. Here is my welding brother. This is how they blow us. Okay, the purpose of John's gospel, the whole purpose of this is as human beings, we are so... We are all in our own time capsule, time race. That's the correct word. You can hear I'm not my mother tongue. I guess Afrikaans. Okay.
All right.
Wat vir my so mooi is hierso, is net dat ons vergeet so baie keer waaroor gaan dit. Ons is gepla oor die koppie, ons is gepla oor die piering, ons is gepla oor dit moet Britain wees, England, dit wees, dit moet Dutch wees, whatever. Dit gaan nie daaroor nie, dit gaan oor die inhoud. Die inhoud is Jesus Christus. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Thanks, Peter. So, our children have got coloring books with pictures, but JJ, he takes words and he colors in that. That whole Bible is colored in.
Stella. As I was listening to JJ, the Lord reminded me what I was reading in yesterday in John 21, just 20 to 22, says, and this was the disciple whom Jesus loved, and Peter. And then it says in verse 20, that's when Jesus appeared to them again. And it says, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. That was when Jesus asked Peter to follow him. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved also followed. And then then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one?" They're just explaining to us the one who leaned on Jesus during the supper. But what stood out for me here is that when Jesus called Peter, and this disciple also followed, and then Peter seeing him said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is this? What is that to you? You follow me." And it's just what stood out for me is Jesus loved Peter so much beyond. But also there is this one disciple that he loved, and the conflict between Peter. I felt the Lord for me saying, it really doesn't matter who you are, which level of service in the church you are, whether you serve at all, or whether you are the least one, or whether you clean the bathroom, as long as you are a disciple, we all disciple, and that Jesus recognizes us differently, and that we are all equal before him.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Stella. I want to encourage you that as you get together, maybe in this week, in the communities, maybe even in this afternoon, that you do share with one another, you know, just what the Lord showed you personally. That's this morning was witnessing. In Acts 1, Luke writes and he says how Jesus spoke to the disciples. He says, "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses." And part of that witnessing is to tell somebody what you saw, what you experienced. And that's what happens now. Is people are telling you what they experienced in God. And it comes out in different ways, unique ways. But the beautiful thing of that is Jesus is alive and is at work. And I hope what you're hearing is he can be at work as he's in that person. So much he can be at work in your life. I want to end off with John 21, and actually just a portion just before what Stella just shared now. But in John 21, in our last chapter that we read today, some of you might still need to go and read it. But the first verse, it says, "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way." And I'm playing with the words again because it says this whole fast and prayer time has been for us about the way of Jesus. And when we consider the ways of Jesus, we consider his teachings, the ways of God. What do we see in the Bible? What does he tell us? This is a way to live. We consider the example of Jesus, what he came to show us. I love again there in Acts, as he starts out, he says, "I'm going to tell you everything that Jesus came to do and teach." And Jesus did it, and then he taught it. And so we learn by example. And that's why we're trusting God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, because it needs to open up. You've got to see it in some way. You've got to. That's why we even talk. You know, when somebody explains to us, "Oh, I see what you mean. Ek sien wat jy bedoel." It's but you're listening to words. But there's a picture in our hearts and in our minds that forms that we then start to understand, okay, this is what. And what Jesus came to show us was the Word of God. He came to be the picture of what God has been telling us the whole time. The disciples had to say, now I see what he meant in the Old Testament. But we also read in John how often the disciples were like, they didn't quite understand. They were confused. They didn't understand it at that time. And then Jesus said, "I will give you a spirit. I will give you the spirit that will explain to you, that will lead you into all truth. I will be present to you." And I love you at the end how Jesus comes to you. He wants to reveal himself to the disciples in almost a last way. And he brings them to a place. They've just now, they've gone fishing. They've tried to catch fish the whole night. Couldn't catch any fish. Peter, James, John, the guys are there. And Jesus is standing on the shoreline. And he says, "Have you caught anything?" "No, we haven't." They can't see exactly who it is. They're just shouting back because they can hear the question. "Throw your net on the other side. Do it a bit different." And as they threw the net on the other side, they caught fish like crazy. It's too much for them. And then John says, "It's the Lord. It's the Master. It's the Teacher." Remember in the beginning when I started preaching, I spoke about Jesus, God who created, and Jesus, God we follow. And when we consider the name Lord, it takes those two in one. He is Yahweh. He is the one who's in himself. He needs neither. He's the uncreated one who created. But he's also the one very personal, belonging to you. Lord was the name given to God that only the Jews used in the Old Testament. Because he led them through the desert. He led them through. They were his God. He was their God. And so here, the disciple says, "It's the Lord." Peter, and you know what Peter did. He betrayed Jesus. He said, "No, he denied, sorry, not betrayed. He denied Jesus. People asked him 3 times, aren't you one of his disciples? Aren't you one who knows him?" "No, no, no." Up until one spot that he swore, he cursed. I mean, you walk 3 years with Jesus. Na glip woord nog steeds. Some of you feel, "Oh, luckily I've still got a chance." Nee. I don't know what he said when he was so tired. Nee, when dry. Peter, jou blikskorrel. So he denied Jesus. The last experience of Jesus that he had was that "I denied him." Yes, see, imagine that for guilt. Some of you, you might have some, I don't know, a family member. Some of you know family members that the last experience they had before that family member died was a fight. They didn't talk with one another for so many years and then the dad died. Or the last, it was not a good experience. And just that sense of guilt that some people struggle with. Peter's with that. This Savior, the one he said, "I will follow you. I won't deny you." The one he said that "You are Christ, the Son of God." Denied him. And so Peter says, "Yes, it's the Lord." And I love that picture. He puts on his clothes and he jumps in the water. Dives there. I need to get to him. I need to be with him. He doesn't run away because of his guilt. He goes to him. And Jesus is there on the shoreline. At the brekkie reg. The fish is on the coals. He's got some bread. And here's the way that Jesus reveals himself to them. He's the one that's the creator. He's the one that's over the fish of the sea. He's the one that determines if you catch or not. He comes and he brings them close. And he starts with this question: "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yeah, Lord, I love you." "Feed my lambs." Let's just read that if we... Let's just read that moment. Got the other. There we are. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him, almost like, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." How beautiful it is that Jesus comes. The same amount of times that he denied him, he restores him. In a sense, he says, hey, you've done wrong, but I can recreate. I am God the Creator. I can recreate what you have lost. God comes and he makes a new creation. He says, when we are born again, it's a new creation. That's why John comes in such a special way. And he almost mirrors it with Genesis. In the beginning was God, and he created. Because he wants to show forth that it's no longer just the earthly world that's being created. It is a new creation in the Spirit. A follower of Jesus. Three times. Father, Son, and Spirit. And there's just so many threes that we can look at. But Jesus comes and he restores. And then he ends off. Peter is like, okay, he's spoken and he's restored in mercy. And then the last verse that I just want to highlight here. And then he said he spoke to Peter and he said, listen, at this stage you think you can do everything, but at the end you're going to be led. You're going to have somebody that leads you. And he spoke about his death. And he says, here's the main thing. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Some of the last words to Peter says, hey, do you love me? Go. Be a disciple. Feed my lambs. Tell people of me. Tend to my sheep. Feed my sheep. Be amongst one another. And I want to tell you, there is a sense of there's a pastor and he was a leader in the church. But there's a sense that each one of us can in some way tend to the lambs of God, the young ones that are just starting to believe. Some of you might be on a journey. You're not sure if you believe yet or not, but you want to know more. And each one of us has got a place in our unique way, as JJ said. We've got a place in God's work. And he wants us to say, come. And the answer is, follow me. Some of you have been really blessed by reading through John. And you almost want to hold on to this. It's like, yes, I wrote down. I don't know how many of you had this, but I've got 21 one-liners, 21 things that I felt God show me. And I was just reading through it last night again. And wow, Lord, I know. It's like the summary of John. And it was an experience with God. It was a God revealed himself. And we're hearing of one another. And now we want to be almost like, you know, when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, Peter, James, and John, they heard the Father speak. And it was like Jesus was meeting with Moses and Elijah. I mean, it was amazing. And Peter says, no, we've got a camp here. Let's build something here. Have a Jesus International Ministry. You just come to this mountain. Yeah. What did God tell the disciples, those three disciples there? Listen to my son. Listen to his words. Do it. What are the last words of Jesus here to Peter? Follow me. He's saying, be Christ attentive. Don't stop now. It's not just a teaching. My ways aren't like impersonal. John 14, Philip asks, how will we know what is the way of God? She says, I am the way. Follow me. Look at me. Follow my teaching. Follow my example. Follow my spirit that is at work right now. And some of you experience more than others. That's not the point. The point is, follow him. And he's going to continue. I really believe that as we put something like a seed in the ground in this time, we just need to build on it. We just need to continue on it. Some things that Lord showed you, you need to continue. Go for it. Continue to do it. We were speaking the other night with Rudolf and Aaron. He was just saying, this is just the next step. And the way of Jesus is walked one step at a time. One moment of obedience at a time. One revelation at a time. One sharing at a time. One step at a time. And so we experience our God is at work. For me personally, in this 21 days, I have not experienced how often the moments that people were either thinking of me either wondering of me or so that I would phone them. So, yes, I was just thinking of you. It felt to me like God was by His Spirit without me trying to, but just in this time, He just ordered my steps in such a way that it came in sync with the people that I needed to meet. And it was that Jesus said, I can only do what I see my Father. I didn't even see it properly. But because we were aligning and you were praying for me and I was praying for you and we were encouraging one another in this way of Jesus, we started to walk His ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, just believe. And it's not all these fix any type of thing. Fix myself. No, it is let's give ourselves to God. Let's walk the way that He wants. Let's follow His example. Let's follow the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I want to bless You for every single person here. And just seeing, Lord, how You've strengthened hearts, how You've encouraged people, how You've come to reveal Yourself to them and to us, Lord. How You've ignited and just through encouragements to one another, have just really blessed each one. I bless You for that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as each one is giving and just aiming to follow You, Lord, that they would find how they are walking on the way. As they are seeking You out, that they would walk on the way of Jesus. And that they would be in this place, as You said, follow Me. That they would be followers of Jesus. Lord, together we want to follow. This is the year of the Lord, as we sang. Lord, we know it because You are in it. And Holy Spirit, may we in the days to follow just see a mighty work of You in our hearts, but also wider. And just pray with me now as you think maybe of some faces, some colleagues, neighbors, friends, that they're not in the way of Jesus. They don't know the ways of Jesus. They don't know how loving and how kind He is. They don't know the things of giving and of blessing and of obeying God and of sticking to one wife or to one husband or loving their children. They don't know the ways of God like that, and they need to know the way of God. Let's just mention them before God right now. Lord, we are trusting You for those that are out of the way of God. They're not in Your way in that sense, Lord, and You want them in Your way. Help us to know the moment, Lord, that You are sending us on their way. Help us to know the moment that we can share and be witnesses. Share of the goodness what You've done in our lives. Help us to see that moment, Lord. To be Christ attentive. To be aware where You are working. In Jesus' name. I bless You for that, Lord. Amen. 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 Guys, have a marvelous week. Be a blessing. You've been made to be one. And let's see what God's going to do from here on.